money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce all the way up the horn. It's
good! Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
I think it was bad decision making, especially on my part. You know, I think I have to do a much better job. Especially in first half, I felt like that kind of had an influence on my game. You know, there were some bad mistakes I usually don't do. So I gotta definitely take care of that. And we've been having a problem with that turnovers lately. I think it's also the teams. You know, I think changing the scout on us, changing a little bit the defenses.
We got to be smart on the team post.
This week, you know, going up against the Bucks and then Warriors and now the Raptors.
Well, tough schedule, obviously, but that's what we said. Like a week ago, we said we're going to have only playoff teams going against us now, and it could be good for us just to adjust, you know, playing playoff basketball already. I felt like these three games were really physically good for us, you know, especially today also Raptors. I think defensively we play a pretty intense game, and I think it could be helpful for us in the future.
That was Wizards point guard Tomas Satoransky talking about the Wizards' loss to the Raptors 102-95. Tomas had 10 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds, which looks pretty good, but he also was responsible for 6 of the team's 18 turnovers, which ultimately proved to be the difference in that matchup. I'm your host, Noah Getzel, and the Locked On Wizards podcast starts now. Yo, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast. We are here at Capital One Arena after the Wizards dropped the game 102-95 to the Toronto Raptors. The bench exploded for the Raptors, just as Brandon Nguyen and I kind of discussed last night in our preview podcast. So we're going to be talking about that, and then also the Wizards' turnovers, which remain an issue. Raptors barely turn it over whatsoever. And finally, we're going to be talking about Scott Brooks' Coach of the Month honors that he received on Thursday, and what kind of adjustments he'll have to make as he closes out the rest of the season, much of which will be without John Wall. Of course, 10-4 the past month without John Wall. They lost their first game in March, however. So we're going to jump right into all of that. Locked On Wizards is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We have 5 podcasts a week with Wizards news analysis, different guests around the league, different Locked On podcasts being featured, and player quotes and interviews. We're going to feature Tomas Satoransky and Scott Brooks here tonight. So the guest tonight was the same guy who was previewing the game last night. That's Brandon Nguyen. You can follow him on Twitter at 45_NGUYEN. Brandon, what do you think? Wizards coughed up that 14-point lead in the first quarter. The bench was just totally dominant night and day. The Wizards bench did nothing. They had 15 points. What was like the biggest takeaway for you tonight for why the Wizards couldn't take advantage of their early lead?
Well, first of all, I thought the Wizards came out with great energy. I mean, they had 8 second chance points compared to Toronto's 2 in the first quarter. I mean, turnovers were bad. But in a game that is this close, you got to take care of the basketball. You can't give a team like Toronto more possessions, especially a team that's top 5 in the NBA when it comes to offensive rating.
Mm-hmm. And the Wizards started the game up 18-4. Like, of course, we knew that wasn't really going to last because the Raptors are the best team in the East, second best team record-wise, I believe. They're, you know, like top 3 in the whole league. So, like, that hot start looked great. But then, even in, like, the end of the first quarter, as some of the subs started coming in, that 14-point lead became an 8-point lead going into the second quarter, and then it kind of trimmed down and evaporated because the Raptors started that second quarter on a, what was it, 21-9 run? Or sorry, from the end of the first through the second quarter, and 20-9 through the first half of the second quarter. So, and then like the bench, when the Raptors had just 37 points, Toronto's bench had 22 of those. They ended with 50 of the team's 102 points. CJ Miles was getting open all over the place. He hit 6 threes and scored 20 points. I mean, a lot of people are saying that the Raptors have the best bench in the league, so it's tough when the Wizards kind of have had depth, but it's been hit or miss different games. Like, Oubre didn't do much tonight. What'd he finish with? 2 of 8 shooting, 6 points. Satoransky used to be a spark off the bench. Now he's in the starting lineup. And then some guys who have really just disappeared a little bit. Mahimni, who had some of his minutes substituted for Jason Smith tonight, and then Mike Scott. Did he even make a shot?
He
hit one shot. But like there was a stretch where Scott was scoring 15, 20, 25 points a game, so that hot hand has cooled off for sure. But I think when it comes down to it, even in the first two quarters, like 11 players scored for the Raptors. The Wizards just don't have that kind of depth. Of course, it doesn't matter quite as much when you get into the playoffs, but I think the biggest difference is that the Wizards, you know, weren't careful with the ball and didn't stop everybody. They didn't really, like, respect everyone enough on the Raptors. They kind of zeroed in on DeRozan, and Lowry had an awful game. Well, not an awful game, but, like, he was 4 of 10 and didn't do too much. But ultimately, turnovers, that's what's plaguing the team, so that's why you gotta miss John Wall, even though he's sloppy with the ball occasionally. Like, it's rare that he'll have multiple games with too many turnovers, but then again, it's not like Satoransky or Beal are going game after game with 8 turnovers, anything like that. Sato had 6 tonight. You'll hear from Scott Brooks at the end of this podcast. Scott Brooks said he was just trying to force the issue a little bit too much, and not even force it for himself in terms of being selfish. He was just trying to set teammates up and force passes, maybe off like backdoor cuts that weren't quite there. Second quarter was a real weak spot. Raptors outscored the Wizards 32-20. Where do you think things broke down, Brandon?
Scott Brooks mentioned this in his press conference. He said the team had a difficult time handling the Raptors' physicality, and as a result, they didn't set their screens properly, and they would try to force things that weren't there. I think that's what really cost the Wizards in the second quarter. They just weren't setting good enough screens to help the offensive players get around the initial defender.
Yeah, and one thing that Markieff Morris mentioned too was kind of like when you're going against some of the toughest teams, like you really have to be on your toes, and of course you can't turn it over, but then defensively, like, if you do turn it over, you got to sprint back in defense and for that transition D. And then even off of simple pick and rolls or off-ball screens, like, you really got to communicate perfectly. You can't leave shooters wide open, even if they're guys like CJ Miles who don't do that much. Like,
well, I guess Miles is averaging 10 points a game and shooting 39% from downtown. So he's not nothing. But still,
there are only 400 NBA players. Everyone's got to be guarded, of course. So I think that defensive communication, it's not like the Wizards played bad defense tonight. Like, that wasn't a fact because, you know, the Raptors shot just 46% and they shot just 30% of three-pointers from three-point land. But ultimately, like, yeah, it's the best team in the Eastern Conference. Like, you can't turn it over 18 times. And then how amazing was the turnover difference, because the Raptors, like, the Wizards basically equaled the Raptors' turnover total in just the first quarter. The Wizards had 5 in the first quarter. Raptors had 7 all game. How do you do that? That's like Spurs. That's like Warriors offense. Like, I mean, the Warriors are even sloppy with it because they have too much fun. But, like, a whole basketball game, you just turn it over 7 times? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think teams have figured out what the Wizards do on offense without John Wall. I mean, in the first couple games without him, they kind of caught teams by surprise with this new, like, this new ball movement type of offense. But yeah, after a while in the NBA, coaching staff are going to start scouting you, and eventually they're going to figure out what you do on offense, and that's going to make you a little bit easier to guard. Especially with the Wizards, they don't have another guy outside of Beal who can create offense for himself or for somebody else.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, Porter had a few, like, off the dribble pull up jumpers. Oubre usually can create a little bit more, but, and like Markieff is more of like a catch and shoot, right, occasional post up type guy. But, you know, like, outside of those 4 guys, like, we had 4 people who were in double digit scoring, and I guess Gortat got 8, but, like, it just, it, you know, there weren't really enough threats, I would say. Like, Porter and Beal did fine. They had more than 20 points. 24 for Porter, 23 for Beal. He also added seven rebounds and six assists, but it's just tough because, like, you get the same sort of production. Of course, I mentioned Lowry didn't do anything, but, like, 24 points versus 23 points for DeMar DeRozan, and he shot over 50%. And then just everyone on the bench, you know, Fred VanVleet, 12 points. Jakob Poeltl, I don't know, I must be butchering his last name. He only had six, but he made a huge impact on the game. He had three block shots. I guess he only had three rebounds, but it just seemed like he was everywhere. So, I don't know. It's kind of like the same deal as when the Wizards were playing the Celtics last season in the playoffs. Just so many different contributors, whether it was Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier. How do you pronounce his name? Rozier. My bad. Of course, Kelly Olynyk was the big Wizards killer. It's just the depth that the Wizards don't have, and then the Raptors and teams like the Celtics do, you know, that's the difference in these sorts of games.
Yeah, and with the Wizards, it's very rare that they're going to get someone that's going to score 25 to 30 points outside of Beal or Porter. That rarely happens. I mean, Mike Scott will get you 19, 18 points at best, but no one's going to have a night.
Markieff Morris isn't doing that. Kelly Oubre is not going to do it. Tim Frazier isn't going to. Tomas Satoransky is a setup guy. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about the depth, allowing 50 bench points for the Raptors, scoring, what, 15, 11, plus 4? Yeah, 15 points off the bench for the Wizards. We're going to come right back with the Locked On Wizards podcast, and we're going to talk about different adjustments that Scott Brooks is going to have to make. He was just Coach of the Month for the month of February. 10-4 record without Wall, but we're going to have to talk about, you know, what's got to change the next month of March while Wall is still on the shelf and the Wizards have to respond against all these playoff opponents. Stay tuned into Locked On Wizards podcast. We'll be right back. All right, we are back with the Locked On Wizards podcast. The Wizards dropped one to the Raptors. Tight game tonight. Wizards just didn't have enough steam at the end. Too many three-pointers allowed in that fourth quarter. So the Wizards have had some quality wins and just a couple of tough losses here against mainly elite teams and then the Charlotte Hornets over the course of February, and now we're into March. Scott Brooks really stepped up to the plate after Wall went down. Everyone kind of discounted the Wizards and thought, like, maybe they could sneak into the playoffs as an 8 seed. Over the last month, he went 10-4, awesome record, beat the Cavs, beat Philadelphia 76ers and the Bucks. What do you think of his coaching performance in the Wizards over the past month of February?
I think it's been excellent. I mean, the players can talk about sharing the basketball and the whole everybody eats mentality all they want, but if you don't have a coach in place that can really implement a game plan to help the team succeed without their best player, then the team's not going to be as successful as they can be. Mm-hmm. So Scott Brooks gets a lot of credit. And I don't really understand why people say he's not a good X's and O's coach. I mean, he's not a Steve Kerr when it comes to X's and O's, but I remember last year he made some pretty solid adjustments, like the whole staggering bench lineup with starters.
Mm-hmm. Which I'd still like to see more of this year.
Yeah,
I'd
like to see more. Yeah.
In that, the end of the first quarter, early second quarter, when you had Frazier, was Meeks playing early? I can't quite remember.
He played. He checked in for Beal, I think.
Either
towards the end of the first or early in the second.
Anyway, that second lineup, even if they did have a starter in there at the end of the first quarter, it wasn't really cutting it. But, you know, this is a matchup against the best team in the East, as you mentioned, so it makes sense that you can't win every game. I think Brooks does a great job of getting the most out of his players and getting the most out of the talent that he has, especially developing young players like Kelly Oubre and Tomas Satoransky aren't going to have seasons that they're having now under a guy like Randy Whitman, who lets people rot on the bench. We haven't seen much of Chris McCullough or Devin Robinson, who's been on the G League, but, you know, their time will come, I assume, under Brooks. I just think, like, when it comes to end of quarter, end of game execution, he's kind of been the one to just trust the players, trust John Wall make the right decision, trust Bradley Beal with an ISO play at the end. So, I mean, hopefully you don't have to get into that situation, but I don't think like his after timeout plays are really anything special, and that's where he kind of gets the criticism.
He got away with it last year because last year it worked. I mean, last year John Wall was one of the best fourth quarter players in the league statistically.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of able to rely on him, but this year it just hasn't been the same case.
So yeah, but how many games has it been where like he just says, okay, everybody clear out. If you get wide open, you can shoot it. But basically, Wall or Beal, like, we're not even going to run a pick and roll, really. We're just going to see what you can do against your defender. You're going to be double teamed and take some sort of, like, tough fadeaway. Like, this is the shot that we'll live with. Would you rather see something else if there's 10 seconds left in the fourth quarter and the score is tied?
I mean, I would still like to go to Beal, but I'd rather have him run off screens instead of dribbling the ball at the top of the key. Because very rarely is he successful when he's put in that situation late in games.
Mm.
I mean, like, when's the last... I mean, aside from the game against Cleveland, when's the last time you see him going one-on-one against a defender with 5 seconds left on 5 seconds left in the game?
Yeah. There were some games where he definitely had the chance to win or lose it, and he didn't make too many clutch shots. I mean, let's be honest. Like, clutch shots are throughout the fourth quarter. It's any time you need a bucket and you score, that's a clutch shot. But, like, I'm talking, like, end-of-game situations where it's, like, in overtime, fourth quarter, whatever, Beal hasn't had too many game winners, but no players really do. So I don't know how much of it's coaching. I definitely think I'd have to review all the candidates, but I'm not upset whatsoever that Scott Brooks was named Coach of the Month, and I think he's doing an awesome job. But at the same time, I think opponents, whether they're playoff opponents or not, they're starting to figure out the Wizards. You know, like the Warriors showed on Wednesday night. If you just double Beal and let someone else beat you, there are very few other options of guys on the Wizards who can step up and make those shots. Porter might get his 25, he might get 30. Morris probably he's probably not going to be the one who ends up being like the leading scorer or the one who kills you. Like, Oubre's three has been a lot better this year, but he's still making some mental miscues. And like, yeah, I mean, no team has the depth of the Raptors where they have 11, 7, however many guys who can, like, step up and get 15 points just because, you know, you key in on some other player. But I think, what do you think the Wizards should do when Beal was hitting it tonight, but, like, when there's so much focus on Bradley Beal, maybe he's getting double-teamed, what can the Wizards do to kind of give him some other options?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is to run some off-ball screens for Otto Porter, try to get him open.
Yeah.
Like, don't put Otto Porter in a pick and roll situation because that's not the strength of his game. Like, the thing he's best at is catching and shooting and cutting to the basket. So just run some plays for him and don't expect him to create for himself.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, Otto's best when he's getting offensive rebounds and open kickout jumpers when other players drive or running in transition. Yeah, he's not really a guy who will call his own number and go ISO, go pick and roll. One other thing that was of note about this game, which was a little bit surprising, is that the Raptors won it, even though they missed so many free throws. It was, yeah, they shot 62.5% at the line, 20 of 32. How often do you miss 12 free throws and still find yourself in that position? Like, the Wizards, of course, they lost by 7 and missed 7 free throws. They only shot 67%. But, like, it's just, you know, it shows how good of a team the Raptors are if they're missing 12 free throws and winning by 7 points.
And it's also about getting timely stops. I mean, the Wizards, they held the Raptors to 36% shooting in the fourth quarter. But I mean, when you let someone get 11 of their 20 points in the fourth quarter, especially in key moments, you're going to lose the game.
Who got 11 of 20 in the fourth?
CJ Miles got 11 of 20 points in the fourth quarter. And they coughed the ball up 5 times in key moments. So, I mean...
Mm-hmm. It's tough because, like, if you want someone to beat you, you'd rather it's not Lowry. You don't want it to be DeRozan. Mm-hmm. So, like, if somebody's going to go ahead and score 20 points, like, you can kind of live with it. Same way, like, Gortat's defense against Kelly Olynyk in the Game 7 was terrible. But, like, if anyone's going to beat you, like, you don't want it to be Isaiah Thomas when you're facing the Celtics last year. You don't want it to be their star. Like, it's I mean, I don't know CJ Miles' numbers coming into a game, but like at the same time, you do have to make adjustments once this dude hits two in a row or whatever.
He has 6 3-point attempts in the. So yeah, 6 3-point attempts in the fourth quarter.
He only made 1 2-pointer.
I know, but if a guy gets 6 open looks from the 3-point line, you gotta change something.
Yeah, and this happened against the Hornets too. Frank Kaminsky made 7 of them. Marvin Williams had like 4 or 5. Kemba Walker had like, of course, Kemba Walker's tough to stop, but he had like 5 3-pointers as well. Like once these guys are hitting the threes, like I don't know if it's poor rotations or what, but it can't fly. You can't let someone make that many open threes. You gotta key in on them, no doubt.
It might just be a lack of personnel. I mean, Gortat's not gonna go out there and contest. Mahimi's not gonna go out there and contest. And Morris he has to. I don't know how great he is in those situations.
He might not be quick enough.
Yeah, he might not be quick enough.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's pretty much a wrap. The Wizards are playing better. You know, they've lost 2 in a row now against, you know, 2 of the best teams in the league. They have not yet lost 3 in a row all season. So we'll see what happens here against the Pacers on Sunday night. We'll have another podcast up Sunday night to recap that game. And that should do it. We're going to end with some analysis, post-game analysis from Wizards coach Scott Brooks. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. By the way, I totally forgot to mention the entire episode, but you guys can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, LockedOnWizards.com, Spotify, follow us on Twitter, Megaphone. We post all the links to these episodes on Twitter, so tune in for that. Thanks so much, Brandon, and have a good night, everyone. Here is Scott Brooks for you.
Our bench did not play like they have been playing. Unfortunately, we needed the entire team to come through and play against the best team in the East. And on top of that, we turned it over. We keep talking about it. We show film, and we got to take care of the basketball. Uncharacteristic tonight was Thomas, 6 turnovers, but 18 turnovers, 27 points. That's, like I said last game, the same situation. We can't give these great teams easy possessions, and they don't have to earn points. They get it in transition off of our turnovers. It seems like every night somebody steps up. The big fella, Van Fleet, Siakam, Miles tonight, you know, 20 points. You know, we couldn't make a 3 off for a bench, or we made 1. Kelly was 1 for 6, and he made 6, and they made 8 as a bench, and you know that's the difference. Take that in our turnovers. I thought we played everybody pretty tough. You know, DeMar is an all-star, Lowry's an all-star, really good players, and I thought we played them pretty good, and just like they played, you know, Brad pretty good. But you know, the wild card was CJ. We talked about him, how he can come in and have a big number with his impact on his shooting, and he got free too many times tonight.
You mentioned Thomas's turnovers, how we don't see that very often. How would you kind of characterize those mistakes? Were they unforced, or was it?
They were physical. They're a good defensive team. They got some math. Put their hands on us, and we allow that by not setting our screens up, not setting good screens. You can't let them dictate how we play offense. And Thomas, at times, was trying to force the issue for his team, not for himself, for his team. So those are if you're going to live with any turnovers, those are the unselfish turnovers. He's trying to find guys rolling, trying to find guys on the weak side. It's just their activity. They got their hands on the ball quite a few times tonight. I reminisce.
I reminisce for a spell, or shall I say think back 22 years ago to keep it on track. The birth of a child on the 8th of October, a toast, but my granddaddy came sober. Count all the fingers and the toes, now I suppose you hope the little black boy grows. 18 years younger than my mama, but I really